I'm going to turn this over to Jane. I just want to say a couple of things that we are very happy to have her with us this morning, and her her companion that's been traveling with her. Tell me your name again. Penny. We're glad to have Penny. And so Jane has been traveling. Her and Penny have been traveling quite a bit the last few weeks. This is their last stop before they head back home down to the low country of South Carolina. And Jane was here a few years ago when Renee turned 50. Well, it was last year, wasn't it? She kind of ran the program there. And Jane's an author of a number of books. She is, as I said, a former Miss South Carolina, and a mother and a wife, and she loves the Lord. And that's what she's here for today. And we are just proud to have her. Jane has many talents. She is multilingual, speaks a number of languages, and I hope she'll share some of those with us this morning. Some of you may have remembered those, some of her languages from when she was here a few years ago. But Jane, just come and just do whatever the Lord has laid on your heart, and we're just privileged to have you with us this morning.
Good buddy Penny, we've had fun, we really have, and to hear Jamie, I hadn't heard Jamie play, and the only thing I can say is he's magnificent, and he's half the man he used to be, so, and that's a good thing. You know, I was telling Fred that I just returned, Penny and I did, from the annual conference in South Carolina, and what I was impressed upon was the scripture about the footprints. And the poem, you remember the wonderful poem about walking by the Lord, and then all of a sudden there are two sets of footprints, and there's one, you know, the one I'm talking about, and he's carrying us in those difficult times. Well, just to set things up, in Psalms it says, your path led through the sea, your way through the mighty waters, though your footprints were not seen. Now that's a great scripture. The other one is, to this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. The example. Following in his steps. This is a medley that I absolutely love. Hope it'll bless you.
Sweet Lord, sweet chariot.
When this life is over.
example of following in the footsteps of Christ. And I started thinking about that. What is it about footprints? What is it about shoes? And I love shoes. I too love shoes. And I saw a little napkin one time, and written on it was, "Don't underestimate the power of shoes." Signed by Cinderella. So shoes are powerful. So I decided to go through my closet and pull out a couple shoes. Now, we're Clemson fans, so I know I'm in foreign territory now, but I've got two at Clemson, so we got to love Clemson. Well, I want to challenge you to think about your shoes. Now, this shoe, Jamie said, "I want that." This shoe is my fun shoe. Sometimes you got to wear your fun shoes. Do y'all have a pair? It's kind of like my humor shoe. Because this helps me realize that I need to have a sense of humor. And I can't laugh at me. That's sad. Be able to laugh at yourself. The Bible says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. So put on your humor shoes. You know when I've had to wear these shoes? I'll tell you. Walmart. Now, because I love Walmart so much, I gave it up for Lent. And I'm standing in line at Walmart, and I'm looking at the checkout girl. That child had everything pierced you could possibly have pierced. I mean, she was a study. I mean, she had a safety pin on top of one eyebrow. And, of course, being a humorist, first thing I wanted to say is, "Honey, I didn't know those things could fall off." And then I wanted to say, "Did you fall in a tackle box?" And then I wanted to say, "When you drink water, do you leak?" "And when you ride a bicycle, do you whistle?" So I was wearing my humor shoes. Well, you know, in the South, when we're concerned about people's intelligence, we say stuff like, "Bless your heart," like that. Well, I've got a better one than that. You know what it is? "God love you." And this was a "God love you" girl. Because I got the space bar and the belt was running and she was scanning my items. And got to the space bar and started scanning that too. God love her. And then she said something that was totally profound. She said this, "Look at that phone." Then I realized she had something else pierced. Big old silver ball right there. Of course, then I wanted to say, "Sugar, when you were in that tackle box, did you lick it?" Because I heard what she said, but it was just too fun not to ask twice. Because I had my humor shoes on. I said, "Excuse me, where'd you get this from?" I said, "Honey, I don't believe I want that space bar." So she put it in a great big plastic container marked "Return to Floor." And then you don't want to be ugly because you're supposed to be Christ-like, but you can think some things, which if it's not too bad, it's okay. So this is what I said, because remember, had on my humor shoe to myself, you know what I said? "Oh, the wheel is turning, but the hamster is dead." That's nothing wrong with that, is it, Pastor Fran? No. "The wheel is turning, but the hamster is dead." So there are just times when you have to wear your humor, face, shoes, whatever it takes. At McDonald's, I had to put them on again. I was frustrated. I had the minivan full of children. And everybody wanted a different Happy Meal. I want this, I want that toy. I was like, ah! So here we are, and I got up to the little speaker thing. Of course, they've probably spent $1 million on research telling you what you want. "Would you like to have an apple turnover with drizzle stuff on it that'll kill you later? Would you like, you know?" So the girl, I said, "Listen," I told my children, I said, "we're just going to get chicken McNuggets," or whatever those things are. Whatever they're made of, I don't know. It's like spam. What is that? That's scary. It's not the internet spam. It's like the little camera. So I'm going through the drive-thru, and I just said, listen, I'm just going to take a dozen chicken nuggets. And there was this really long pause, and I heard, what? I said, a dozen chicken nuggets. She said, it don't come like that. She said, it just come in 4-6 and 12. And I said, can I have 2 6s? She said, now we can do that. The wheels turning, the hamster's dead. And of course, there are people that I know that have worn these before me. Don't you have people in your life that have taught you about having a sense of humor? And you follow in those footsteps? I tell y'all about Cutting Teta. I love Cutting Teta. She was a school teacher, and she retired, and in her low country southern way, as Fred said, I speak language, I speak a little gullah, she said, the churn a bayit. Now, the full-fledged gullah would be the mule don't walk on Broad Street, got chutty cotton, cow, and twist my jab, and I'm going to do fun. That's full-fledged gullah. Or borax in the fishing hole, and he need to get frog to catch fish. Jamie knows exactly what I'm saying because he was a low country boy. And he grab a snake because the snake got frog in his moat. And he try to get the frog out the snake moat. And he know how to do that because the snake gonna bite him, he go for dead. So he realized he got the corn liquor in his back pocket. And he popped that snake moat open and put drop of corn liquor in the snake moat. And he eye roll back in his head. He take the frog out the snake moat. Throw a snake back in the swamp. It ain't too much longer. That snake done tap on his shoe. It got 2 frog in his moat. Did y'all understand any of that? So my cousin Tina, in her low country way, to churn in a bag. And the very last day of school, a parent walked up to her with her fist like this in Cousin's face. I got a good mind to knock your teeth down your throat, woman. That's what she said to Cousin Teta. Now, let me tell you, that situation, you know, there's no answer. There's nothing you can do. And Cousin Teta, in her wisdom, with her humor eye, her humor shoes on, realized that as well. So as that woman was going, I got a good mind to knock your teeth down your throat, Cousin Teta said, I will save you the trouble. She just took out her dentures. Like the story about the old couple in bed. And the woman just nudges her husband, they're elderly, and she said, I sure wish you'd nibble on my ear like you used to. He just got up out of bed. She said, where are you going? He said, to get my teeth. And like Roger Rabbit brilliantly said, sometimes the only weapon you have is a laugh. Isn't that true? See, I like to study those who paved the way before me, the path, the footprints, the shoes. I like that. Aunt Josie Herlong's passed away. I loved Aunt Josie. She was enthusiastic. I love to be around fun older people. My mother was a fun person. And I just love that about her. Her sense of humor was amazing. But Aunt Josie was just like that. She was in the Orangeburg, South Carolina nursing home, and a good-looking man walked in. She had her walker, and she made time up in his face. Right up in his face, she said, lay in sight, you look just like my third husband. And the guy kind of backed up. He said, my goodness, lady, how many times you been married? She said, twice. My mama had a favorite joke she told. She said a woman was getting on a bus, and a line of people behind her. And her skirt was so tight, she couldn't lift up her leg. So she reached back and she unzipped her skirt a little bit. That still couldn't get her leg up. So she reached back and unzipped the skirt a little bit more. Still couldn't get her leg up. Man, she just unzipped the skirt all the way down. Still couldn't get her leg up. So this man behind her just lifts her up, puts her on the top step of the bus. She wheeled around and she said, how dare you be so fresh? He said, me fresh? You've unzipped my pants 3 times. And that was my mama's Sunday school joke. Every time she said, I got a new Sunday school joke, I go, oh, mama. does involve in Elizabeth, another couple that I love. They live down at Apapula Creek. And Bob kind of reminds me of that proverb of a relaxed attitude lengthens a man's life. True. Someone who takes things in stride. A relaxed attitude lengthens a man's life. Well, they had a robber break in their house, and they're just sitting up in the den watching TV. He put the gun at Elizabeth's head and said, "What's your name?" She said, "Elizabeth." They said, "I can't care. That was my mama's name." So he went over to Bob, put the gun up in his head, said, "What's your name?" He said, "Bob, but my friends call me Elizabeth." Those are the kind of people I like to be around. Be able to laugh at yourself. Follow in the footsteps. Another shoe that's meaningful to me. Oh, I do love this shoe. It's my little bedroom slipper. Oh my goodness, because I certainly needed some humor when this was a part of my life. Because one of the desires of my heart was to have a family. My husband and I had been married about 8 years, and, well, as we say in the South, the dog didn't hunt, point, get off the porch. It just wasn't happening. Just was not happening. And I went to all this fertility treatment, and that's really fun. And I remember the doctor just gave me the worst news. He said, it's just not going to happen. Oh, I was so devastated. And that same day, it's probably one of the hardest days of my life. Up to that point. I say up to that point, that's wisdom in that statement right there. It's, you know, the longer you live, the more you see. And my husband had just bought a stockyard in Saluda, South Carolina. I cannot tell you how much I did not want to sit there and calculate the wait times the price on pigs, goats, and shoats, and cows and heifers. I just did not, because you smell like your clothes when you let your clothes just absorb that odor. I don't know if any of y'all have ever been to a stockyard. Oh, my goodness. I told my husband many times, "I'm going to quit." He said, "You can't. This is a family business." I said, "Okay, I'm going to fire myself. Can I do that?" So I remember I walked into the stockyard, and I was so down, and there was a cattle buyer. Well, I thought the boy had some kind of tumor going on, but it turned out to be Red Man was stuffed in his cheek. He was scary looking at toothpicks coming up on this side. The kind of person you want to hold the mirror up and say, "Have you seen yourself today? Just curious." And I didn't know him. He didn't know me. And he looked at me and he asked me that question. It was the question most people ask you at a certain stage of life. You know what it is. "Do you have any children?" He didn't say it like that, though, because he's from Saluda, South Carolina. He said this, "Hey, you got any chaps?" And I looked at him and I said, "No, I'm not going to give you my chapstick because I might get cooties. I mean, I'm going to give him my chapstick." I thought he was talking about that. He said, "No chaps." I said, "Chaps." He said, "Children." And I went, "No, I don't have any children." And I just burst out crying. He sat there just staring at me, having a hissy semi. He said, "You ain't got no chaps." I said, "No." He said, "Well, if you was my heifer." Amen. Had to go from this to this. Had to go fast. Couldn't do anything about that one. He said, "If you was my heifer, I'd have done drove you to the meat processing plant." I said, "Honey, if I was your heifer, I'd drive myself." Yep. Hard time. But I'm telling you what, God has blessed us with two children. And we... And, of course, I had them. I mean, it was just a miracle of God because I really trusted He was going to take care of me. And when God knows in your heart that, you know what, I'm through trying to micromanage and overfunction and be God in my own life, when you let go, God can finally work. When you let loose, God will let loose. When He knows in your heart, you mean business. And like I've heard many ministers say, if you don't pass the test the first time, you're going to keep getting it till you do. That's the way it works. Sometimes you just got to put on your humor eye, even in the hardest of times, when you're trying to wear a different shoe. And it's just not fitting. It's nice to have to go back and remember those wonderful, wise, biblical teachings, the Proverbs, the things that these kids are going to learn. We just got through the same theme in our Bible school. Great theme. It's a wonderful Bible school. I encourage you all to come. And yes, there have been other times too. When I was a little first grader with real short hair, had big old lips, no teeth, tomboy, standing up there. Because the day before, the teacher said something so magical, so magical. She said, the high school girls, Aaron, you'll love this story. The high school girls are coming to pick out the cute little girls to be in the Little Miss Merry Christmas. Oh, hello, that had my name on it. No, really, it had my name on it. I was so excited, so I went home and polished my shoes. That's about all we could do back then. Wore the same outfit. I just had polished shoes with little pennies in them, my penny lovers. Those high school girls came around. I grinned my heart out. Now, you know that was not a pretty thing. Big lips, no teeth. That's special, isn't it? And next to me was the princess of princesses. You know her. Everybody's got one of these. Deborah Draughty. The diva. The first grade diva. Had her stick out dress on. All day long she walked around like she was an airplane. Her mama put poodle socks and her Sunday shoes. The night before, her mama put those pink spongy rollers in her hair, and so help me, as we sang this out, her hair was just jacked up to Jesus. The Avon lady left one of those white tester tubes, and she was ruby redded up. Had her teeth, honey, and I wanted to backhand her. She was perfect. Perfect smile, perfect hair, perfect, perfect, perfect. Of course she got picked. I got laughed at. Because, see, I didn't realize it then, but I was on a journey. A journey to a shoe. Oh, wow. Here's a pageant shoe. Oh, there's just something about the goal of making it through a competition where you find out more about you. I wasn't always attracted to pageants, but Miss America was everything I wanted to become. And that's what it does. Aaron can talk about that too. In the pageant world, you stretch, your mind is tapped, you're challenged beyond imagination. I judged Miss North Carolina 2 years ago, and I'm judging Miss Mississippi in a couple of weeks, and I'm amazed at those girls and the journeys that they make. But I was on this journey. I didn't know it. And I remember walking up to that girl and something about me, it was passion was born. God was planting seeds in my heart. And I went up to her and I said, hey, I can play the harmonica. She said, oh, you can be in our pageant. And I said, thank you. I sat down. I went, I can't play the harmonica. What's wrong with me? But my brother came home and he said, we need a fishbowl. He was in high school. Well, he was in high school for 6 years. The wheel was turning, but the hamster was dead. And I was so excited. I wasn't here yet. But my brother said, we need a fish bowl for the pageant. Well, I dumped my fish out. I said, Simon and Garfunkel, it's time for y'all to go. I cleaned out my bowl. And that night, my fish bowl was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen. Because it was part of this wonderful event that I made a contribution. You just don't know. These girls had these empire waist, Mike Venetia, fawn dresses with porte-a-sword, matching shoes, big old beehive hairdos, walking across that high school auditorium, and they put their hand in my fishbowl. I thought I was going to faint. But that was the beginning and the journey to this. Little did I know that 17 years later, I'd be at the stage of the Miss America pageant as Miss South Carolina. I had no business being there. No business whatsoever. Because when I was at the Miss America pageant, I had to wear another shoe to get to here. This was probably the hardest shoe I've ever had to wear. Swimsuit. Oh, yes. This was my swimsuit shoe. And in order to get this shoe to fit, I wore out this shoe. I had to walk in front of America in a swimsuit. Honey, if you didn't think this was going to get worked out, this was like years before it could fit into this. And that's what you do. You make a commitment. You don't make a contribution. If you're passionate about something, you make a commitment. You keep it alive. If you can't wear this shoe, and I wasn't ready for this shoe, but the fishbowl was a contribution towards the shoe. So put your foot in it at least. It might not fit yet, but doggone, you keep working hard, it's going to fit. It's like those pants Jamie bought and said, one day I'm going to wear those pants. And you're wearing them today because you made a commitment for better health. And we all pray for you. I love this man. He's got a good heart. He made a commitment. And that's what it takes. Fred's made a commitment. I don't want to see you in a pageant shoe, Fred, but I know you made a commitment. Oh, man. In the journey to that shoe, the Lord was with me because I made a commitment. I accepted Jesus Christ when I was in high school. And it changed my life. It really did. And I remember when I was in the sixth grade, the teacher gave me a big piece of paper and said, don't look at this. This is your IQ. It tells you how smart you are. Of course, I'm walking off thinking, you know, you really aren't smart. Of course I'm going to look at this piece of paper. I wish I hadn't. My IQ was horrible. Forrest Gump and I think he's better than me. So then when I got to high school, I struggled. I wanted to go to college. I took my SAT several times. PSAT, I took that ACT. I mean, everything, X, Y, Z, just give it to me. I could not make a decent grade on any of that. It was so heavily focused on that, as it is now. And I remember I wanted to go to Clemson, and I called Clemson, and I said, okay, let me tell you my SAT score. And I told them the composite score. They said, what's the other one? I said, that's added up. I remember I was teaching dyslexic children. I was so proud of myself. I got a job teaching dyslexic children. It was great. I got fired. They told me I was them. You're one of them. You're dyslexic. So that was nice. It went from being a teacher to a student all in 20 hours. That's special. I had people tell me, you're not college material. You've got learning problems. I don't know what to do with you. And I bought a tape player, and I would sit in the front of the class with my little tape player. And finally, I remember I got a maybe from Columbia College, a Methodist college in Columbia, South Carolina. And I went to see him. My daddy was a hardworking farmer. It was tomato season. And I talked that guy into letting me in. And I drove back to the tomato field. Daddy said, Jane, I don't have the money to send you. And I said, plant some cabbage, Daddy. That always works. Plant cabbage. Well, that's what we did. There was no public assistance. It was cabbage. I can hardly eat coleslaw to this day. And you know, God is so good. I got a grant, and I went to Columbia College, and they accepted me on academic probation with no money. And my daddy finally, and the grant came through, and daddy worked, and I picked tomatoes, and blah, blah, blah. And the next thing you know, I'm graduating from Columbia College on the dean's list. Now, you know that's God. And then I went to graduate school, and then walked across the stage at Miss America. Don't you ever let somebody tell you you cannot. Don't look to men. Do not let people define you. You let the Lord define you. You let him lead your path. That's why I love that movie Mulan. No, it's not a Christian movie. I don't really care, but I like this song. I told my children, I said, y'all, listen to this song. Listen to this song. And this was it. When will my reflection show who I am inside? Oh, what? When will my reflection show who I am inside? Come on. That's the journey. And I thank God every day that he walked beside me on that journey. Tell you another shoe. Oh, I love this shoe. These are ugly shoes ever made, aren't they? This is the... I love this shoe, and I'll tell you why I love this shoe. Because it's got colors on it. It's got blue and white. It's a great shoe to me. You know why? This is my service shoe. Because I help paint the outside of our fellowship hall. And right now, I just talked to my daughter a little while ago. She's at South Carolina Sockelhatchie, we call it. Are you familiar with that, Fred? It's a work project where the kids get together and they pick several homes in a community. Yeah. Sokolhatchie. It's named after a section of South Carolina. It's very poor. And there's several Sokolhatchie camps going on this week in South Carolina. Service. If you have Jesus Christ in your heart, you do something for somebody else. You do something. You work. You give back. You make a contribution. These people doing Bible school tonight, God bless them. I used to do it. These little bad churns that show up from nowhere. Where did this job come from? And you're going, God help me get through this with a child. That's a labor of love. Sunday school teachers, God bless you. Labor of love. I mean, how do you discipline a Bible school child? Okay, if you don't quit doing that, you're not going to go see Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying? What service are you rendering to the body of Christ? My good friend Penny does National Day of Prayer. It might be changed to Day of Prayer or just Day. Whatever. They're going to work it out. God's going to work through people and give back through you. That's what Christianity is all about. So what shoes are you wearing to serve? Service. Now my last shoe. I'm going to look at the time. Because I know y'all want to go eat. We have more members come to our church because we get out at 11. Beats all the crowds. We have a great church. I got to tell you a little bit about our church. We have a wonderful church. We really do. It's really fun. Jamie, you're so talented. I wish I could just take you home and let you be our organist. She's struggled a good bit, and her husband's really ill, and we all love her. But you're just so talented. But we, you know what? We just have, you know, it's just not perfect many times, people's service. But, you know, if your heart's there, God honors that. We have a Sunday school teacher, and he's a very wonderful man. He got all tongue-tied one time in church. And we were looking at, in Sunday school, rather, and the word Yahweh came up in our scripture. And he said, I know y'all wondering how to pronounce this word. I'm going to pronounce it for you. I've done research. It's pronounced Yahoo. Of course, we just all fall out. We always have this little wasp hatching in the dental work at our old church. And finally, Miss Virginia Honeycutt, one of our choir members, she took got a can of Hot Shot, and she was our designated wasp killer. And we just laugh. We have fun. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And we have a small country church. That's really special. So, what an honor to serve in that capacity, just to give back. Now, here's my hard shoe. I'm going to close with this. Oh, wow. This shoe. This past year in my life, and Jamie's very familiar with this, and he's so sweet to call me and check on me, and as our relationship is special. July the 7th, at 11:15, I said goodbye to my best friend, my mother. I was holding her. She took her last breath. You know, I miss her. I wouldn't have it any other way that I was there and I made a commitment to her. I said, Mama, I'll be with you. And this is not goodbye. This is see you later. And I talked to her that morning. She was in a deep sleep or a heart condition. She was 84. And I wore these shoes to her funeral. See, this is a shoe that represents a lot of sadness and change in my life. And I will tell you, I was so sad, miss her so much. And I remember that Sunday after Mama died, several weeks later, I was back in Johnston, and the church member, Susie Holmes, coming up the steps of my house, and I was really in a sad, sad mood. And I saw she had a yellow lunchroom tray, ugliest tray I've ever seen in my life, one of those plastic ones. I think she stole it from the school. But she had the best food on that tray. Susie's a cook, ma'am. And as I saw her coming in, I said, oh, bless your heart. I just love you. Because she's one of the funniest people. And she just helped me get a little bit of this back. Just a little bit. Because I remember on Valentine's Day, we had our circle meeting, and she's talking about how romantic Walker her husband is. I thought, well, honey, I don't want to go on that bus trip right there now mentally. I just don't. She said, oh, that Walker Holmes is so romantic. You know what he did? Woke me up this morning, Valentine's Day, and said, I got something in the yard just for you. You know what that sweet thing did? He wrote Roundup in Roundup Weed Killer, I Love Susie. Our whole backyard's dead now. But it's so sweet. I'm thinking, y'all are so strange. She just makes me laugh. And Walker's the church sleeper. You know, you got one, two. I mean, he sits down in harmony on Sunday after the first hymn. He is gone. We kept saying, y'all come to Sunday school. And all right, it's been fun. So we put on strong coffee at that coffee maker. Walker sat right in front of that coffee maker. We start talking about the lesson, and all of a sudden he's went. And you know the sound the coffee maker makes when it's finished? All of a sudden the coffee maker went, and Walker went, excuse me. Yellow tray, you know, and I'm thinking, oh, she is so fun. And she was even quoted in the New York Times when Strom Thurmond turned 100. And she was quoted saying, we love him so much, had he already died, I would have still voted for him. That's what she said in New York Times. I couldn't believe it. We were laughing our heads off. Susie's brilliant, girl. Their daughter went to Harvard. And I said, Walker, how are you going to get Callie out to Harvard? Well, she's got all them nice clothes. So I got the cattle trailer and hosed it out. We're just going to hang up the clothes and go. I thought, I would love to go to Harvard and see these people look at you. Forget Legally Blonde. So she handed me this yellow tray and all this food, and we hugged and talked. And there was that tray, y'all, that sat on my counter. I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't want to get rid of it. It was something about the tray. And I said, Susie, can you have it? No, I don't want that tray, Jane. That's an ugly tray. I stole the name. I don't want anybody to know I stole it. I kept looking at it. What am I going to do with this thing? And all of a sudden, I got a phone call. And one of the most wonderful Christian families in our church, son died. Just gone. I knew exactly what to do. Because I realized in the Christian faith, the only way you make sense out of things is to make your pain somebody else's gain. So I cooked my best stuff. It's not really that good, but it's as good as I can do. And I put him on that yellow tray, and I rang that doorbell, and that sweet mama looked at me with tears down her face. I didn't know whether she was crying over my food because she knows how I cook. And I handed that tray. I said, Anna, this is the yellow tray of friendship. The next person that has a sadness in this community, I want you to put your best stuff on it and pass it on. Make your pain somebody else's gain. It's the yellow tray of friendship. And you know she did that? And guess who got the tray next? Me. I got it again. And one more time, I had to wear these shoes. My sister died very unexpectedly. Very unexpectedly. 5 months after Mom. But through it all, and it's been a difficult year, for more reasons than one, because I have learned, without going into a whole lot of detail, and I know you can identify with this, when your family is fractured, when there's a death, it breaks. It's something about grief. It's something about a fractured family. You don't expect people to get better when there's discord. It gets worse. That I have just seen in the past week, I was telling Penny, just this past week, God answered so many questions. And very briefly, and it happened to me last Saturday, I drove back down to Charleston because my 51-year-old cousin committed suicide. It was awful. And I sat in that church, and I remember the last time I saw my cousin. And I hugged him, he hugged me, and we laughed. It was the last time. You've done that too. You know, you hear somebody's passed away, you know what you think about? What's the last time you saw him? And you better be proud of what you said and did. I was proud of what I said and did. As I sat in that church, two rows ahead of me was a woman that was not very kind to me. I really don't know her. But I remembered what she said to me at my sister's wake. And I just simply looked at her and said, you know, I just don't receive what you're saying to me. And I thought, you're accountable. So am I. Those were your last words to me. That's on your conscience. My words were not harsh. And right after that funeral, I was standing in Walmart, because I told you I gave it up for Lent. I was buying a curling iron. I got a phone call from my very best childhood friend. Couldn't even understand her. This happened in a period of a day. And she just couldn't even breathe. Jane. I said, oh no, Lise, what's wrong? Is it your mother? Because her mother and my mother were best friends. I said, Lise, what's wrong? She was on vacation at Edisto Beach. She said, Jane, I just got an email from my brother that he's put Mama in a home. I knew nothing about it. She was devastated. I drove to Edisto. We cried together. And then all of a sudden, the Lord just said, this is why. Because you know how it feels. I've led you down this path not by accident, but by design. Because you can make your year of pain somebody else's gain. You know exactly how Lise feels. You're proud of what you said to your cousin Danny. And this woman two rows in front of you that wasn't kind to you at one of the worst days of your life, I'll deal with her. You let it go. And I hope that message resonates with you. Because I do believe the body of Christ needs to hear that. The body of Christ needs to know that we have to represent Jesus Christ. And how painful was it for him to hang on the cross and be spit on for something he didn't do. And you know what he said? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. See, that's the price of peace. That's the price of peace. You have peace in your heart when everything else is falling apart around you, and people will come to you and say, how do you have that peace? And sometimes people aren't going to give you peace, but doggone it, Jesus Christ will. I'm going to close with this. Our choir director gave me this. He said, Jane, I know you've been through some really unfortunate things this year. He said, I want you to hear this song. And I want you to pray about singing this song. Because you've been through many journeys. But I think this song is for you. And I think someone in this congregation needs to hear this song. Because see, when things like this happen in life, you focus on goodness, God's goodness.
Lately I've been looking back along this winding road to the old familiar markers of the mercies I have known. I know it may sound simple, but it's more than a cliche.
It's an amazing thing when we're able to kind of take that journey and go all the way from tears of humor and laughter and joy and to the tears of sorrow and pain, and being able to share that all with one another as the body of Christ is what it's about for us. And Jane, you've taken us on a great journey this morning, and I thank you for that and sharing your life and your witness with us this morning. This morning as we close, we're going to sing a hymn as we close. And you know, you've been on a journey, all of us have. And wherever you are in that journey, I know Jane had something to say to you this morning, because there was something that we could all relate to along that path. And I invite you to go from just reaching into the fishbowl, as Jane talked about, but to making a real commitment. To putting on those shoes and walking the path that Jesus has laid before us. And as we sing our closing hymn, the ushers are going to pass around a basket. We're going to take up a love offering for Jane because I know that you want her to be able to continue doing and sharing with others what she shared with us this morning, and blessing others as well, and that's the way that happens.